Study that begins next Sunday night, because I'm going to have you turn to Revelation chapter 21. So there, we're at the end of the story. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read the first five verses this morning. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. I'd encourage you to follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. And the Bible says here, "And I saw," John looking at his vision, said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" In our Sunday school hour this morning, Matt spoke on being blessed in 2018. And I want to preach on new things. If you notice there in the middle of verse 5, the Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the conclusion of a year. And God, as we reflect upon the past year, we're thankful for your working in our lives. We're thankful for your protection. We're thankful, God, that we even come to this hour. There are folks at the beginning of this year that are no longer with us. There are folks right now, some of our dear folk, that, Father, are not able physically to be with us today. And Lord, we miss them. And God, we reflect on the days and the blessings of the past. But, Father, most of all, we look forward to the blessings of the future. God, we pray for your protection and your sustenance in a very difficult world that we live in a very ungodly society. Father, a world that's filled with violence and godlessness. And Father, we pray that in this year to come, you would help us to shine like that light, not under a bushel, but Father, that light on top of a hill, that Lord, we might shine for the Lord Jesus Christ until he returns. We pray for this service this morning as we consider some new things, that Father, you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would bless us. And Father, may we truly look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to set our eyes on you as we go into this new year, thankful for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, God says, "I make all things new." Can I say this morning that when God makes something new, you've got something. When God takes the time to create something new, you've got something special. Now, man has been known to make some new things. Now, can I say this? Man really never makes anything new. Man takes what God has already created and organizes it in such a way to make something that man would call new. Let's go back a little ways before I think most of anybody's time here. There was a day where the automobile was new. There was a German man in the late 1800s, the end of that century, that developed the combustible engine. And upon that discovery, again, he didn't really make it. He took parts that were already in existence and formulated. But upon that discovery, upon that new thing he made, then somebody came around and put a chassis under it. Somebody else decided to put some wheels on the end of that chassis, and here we had something brand new in its day, revolutionary. And it was called an automobile. If you've ever seen pictures of those first automobiles, it looked like nothing more like a little go-kart. A little cart with some wheels on it and a man with a top hat and a suit coat riding around in it. And that was a new thing and a new time in that day. Man had made something really new, but it's not new anymore, is it? I mean, that automobile has changed drastically in its design, if nothing else. And we've superseded that by airplanes and jets and rocket ships and satellites that circle the earth, that which man once made that was new is no longer new. There are a lot of things that have been proved on it. In fact, that new car, if you bought a new car in 2017, it's no longer new. Because the 2018s have already been out for quite a while. And the 2017 will soon need a little tweaking, a little tinkering, a little work on it, because anything man makes, even when it's new, is not really good. Not in the sense of when God makes something new. Think about the invention of the television. Do you know when the television was first invented, it had, now I think again, this precedes anybody here, it had one channel. Can you imagine, kids, televisions with one channel? If it was Howdy Doody or whatever it was, that's what you watched. You had no other choice. I know by the time I was a young person, we already had, up in Detroit, we already had seven channels. We had 2, 4, 7, and 9, which is ABC, NBC, CBS, and then 9 was out of Canada, so you could watch all the hockey games. Then was a UHF, VHF. We had 50, 56, and 62 that sometimes came in and sometimes didn't. But I mean 7 channels. What a revolution from a television with one channel to 7. Well, how many does your television have now? And when you go back and look at that thing which was new so many years ago, so many decades ago, it was new, but it's really not very new anymore. How many of you played Pong? The first computer game that was on that TV. Now try to tell your kids about it and, well, who shoots who and what dragon comes out of what? It doesn't make any sense. Everything's advanced. Everything's farther. And those things that were new are no longer new. Everything that man makes that's new quickly is outdated. You remember the television you used to have? Maybe some of you still have it. That weighs about a ton. With the big old picture tube and the cords in the back and the antenna on the top that you wrapped in aluminum foil so you could pick up a channel. Remember those things? And those were revolutionary when they came out. Those were new things. And now we look at those and they say, well, that belongs in a museum. Those things are antiques anymore. I mean, it was a black and white TV. Then, oh, they came around with color. Then they came around with HD. Now it's LED. I don't know what it's going to be next, but there's always one thing replacing the other, and everything that man makes new always gets outdated, always gets replaced, always gets reinvented, and there's always something better that's going to come along. What kind of cell phone do you have? Remember the rotary phones? Remember the ones on the wall at the house, and the only way you could call somebody is through that phone? How about party lines? Where when you got on the phone, you had to hope you could hear because there were other people using the same line. Again, some of you younger folks have no idea what I'm talking about. You're so spoiled. You've got remotes. Back in my day, we had to yell at the kids and have them go across the room and change the channel. Now you've got a remote where you can turn it. All right, the TVs and the advancements and the inventions and all the things. And now the cell phones. I remember I came back from overseas from the mission field and cell phones had become a big thing. And I remember going into the store the first time and seeing a woman in line at a Speedway or something in line. And the teller was trying to get her money from her and she was busy talking on a phone. And I thought, that's the apocalypse. That's the end of the world right there, where you can take a phone and talk anywhere you go and whatever you're doing. And even that pales in comparison. Now the phones, you just don't talk on them. You can do anything you want on them. Man makes something new and it can always be improved upon. It can always been tweaked. It can always be made better. And yet when they make it better, are they really making it better? Are all the inventions of men, when they come out with something new, yes, it's amazing. I mean, the Samsung Galaxy S8. Are you impressed? I had to look that up. But the Samsung or the Apple iPhone, whatever the latest. Everybody waits in line and they get up early in the morning and go wait in line to get the newest and the latest. And 10 months later, they get up and get in line to go again and get the newest and the greatest. Because whatever is new now is not new tomorrow. And everything we've got decays. Everything man invents gets worse and worse, or gets something else comes out better. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not so with God. That when God makes something new, there is no tweaking. When God makes something new, there's no improvement on it. I like what the pen writer wrote when he penned this hymn. He said, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. You know, everything that man invents deteriorates. That new car, and I'm not trying to be a downer here this morning, but that new car, brand new car with 118 miles on it that you drive off the lot, the minute you drive it off the lot, just depreciated about $2,000 or $3,000. And before you know it, you're going to need brakes or a muffler or tires or something. Everything man makes deteriorates over time. But when God makes something new, it's completely different. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. How about New Year's, Matt mentioned these in Sunday school. How about New Year's resolutions? This is day 365 of year 2017. Can you even remember what New Year resolution you made last year? Most of us probably can't even remember. Or we know what it was. It's the same one we make every year. I'm going to diet and exercise. And that lasts usually till about noon on New Year's Day. And that one's out the window. We make these resolutions. We make these new things. And as human beings, anything that's new just doesn't seem to fly, doesn't really seem to work. What man makes new doesn't stay new very long. That new car is going to need parts. That new house. Somebody spends all this money on a new house, and you know what? You're going to have to get the plumbing fixed eventually. There's going to be a leak here. The furnace is going to go out. You're going to have to replace the filter. There's nothing new that's man-made that lasts any amount of time. But when God makes something new, it doesn't decay. When God makes something new, it doesn't need tweaked. When God makes something new, it doesn't need improvement after that. I'm glad our God is so much better than we are. I'm glad our God is God and we are man, and we can look to Him, because when He makes something new, He makes it exactly the way it ought to be, and there's no changes necessary. Let's look at some things this morning in the Word of God. He says in Revelation 21 verse 5, I make all things new. There's a lot of things we can look at that He makes new, but let's just look at a few of them. Turn back, if you would, to the book of John chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. You're familiar with the story in John chapter 3. It's the interview of Nicodemus with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know. Now that's interesting, that word we. He didn't say, Rabbi, I know. He said, Rabbi, we know. Who is he speaking for? The Pharisees. They wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't come to Christ. Their prejudices stopped them from coming to him. But Nicodemus kind of spilled the beans on their private conversations. And he said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again, Nicodemus was puzzled. This was something new to him. He'd never heard this teaching before. He didn't understand what it meant to be born again. And so he asked the obvious question, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? I don't know that he was being sarcastic. I think he was just without understanding, without enlightenment. He didn't know what Jesus was talking about. But he knew this. He's saying, Jesus is telling me, I need to be reborn somehow. I need to be, here's what we'll call it, born anew. We call this, in our terminology, though the Bible doesn't use this term, we call this the new birth. And Nicodemus was introduced in this passage to the new birth. And Jesus found, or Nicodemus found out how this new birth comes to pass, because all of John chapter 3 is this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Sometimes we're guilty of separating verse 16 from the conversation, but look down if you would at the verse you know so well, John chapter 3 and verse 16, and realize this is a part of the conversation Jesus is having with Nicodemus, explaining to him how to get the new birth. And he says in John chapter 3 verse 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's the words: that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, Jesus explained to him that he needed the new birth, and Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, well, how do I get this new birth? Do I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He was thinking physically. He was thinking on the limits of his understanding. And Jesus, opening his eyes, said to him, no, it doesn't come by the physical. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus is still saying, okay, I don't get this. What are you talking about? And he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you this morning that this plan, this way of God for the new birth has never been changed? It's never been tweaked. It's never been improved upon. That God's invention, and I hate using that word, but God's plan of the way of salvation through the new birth, men have tried to tweak it, have they not? Men have come along and said, oh well, just believing is not enough. You've got to believe and be baptized. Can I tell you, that's not God's new plan. Somebody says, well, unless you're dunked in water, you're not really born again. I got news for you. You can be dunked in water all you want to and die and go to hell. Because God's plan did not include being put in water. God's plan is by faith. God's plan is believing in Him. But man has that nature. Well, anything I see, I want to tweak. Anything I see, I want to make an improvement on it. And if it's an invention of man, you can probably make an improvement on it if you know a little bit about it. But when it comes to the ways of God, can I just tell you this? Don't even try. Don't even make an attempt. Don't even think about it. You're not going to improve on what God has made. And when God made and designed the new birth by whosoever believeth in Him, there's nothing you can do that's going to improve what God made new. Now many try by baptism. Somebody else will say this, well, I just believe you got to keep the commandments. Well, that's not the new plan that God made. That's not the new birth that God designed. The Bible says that He was not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. If going to heaven, if the new birth was by keeping the commandments, all of us would perish. There's not a person in this room that's kept the Ten Commandments, all ten of them. And James said, if you break one of them, you're guilty of all ten. So if the way to heaven is by keeping the commandments, then we're all bound for hell. Because there's no person in this room that's kept all ten of them. I guarantee you, most of us have not kept 9 or 8 or 7 or 6 or 5. Down along the way, we have broken the commandments of God. So somebody says, well, I believe the new birth is believing, but then you got to be baptized. No, you can't tweak it. Believing, you got to keep the... Believing, you've got to live it. You've got to live it. Can I tell you this? You can't. You don't have the ability in you to live it. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. You're not. Whether you are unsaved or whether you're saved, you're not holy. You're not pure. You're not undefiled. You're not without spot and blemish. And so if salvation is by believing and keeping it, there is no hope for us. I am glad that when God designs something new, He designs it perfectly. He designs it in some way that there's nobody smarter going to come along and say, you know, I think if you just tweak this, if you just adjusted that, if you just tighten this screw a little bit or connect this over. No, when God comes up with something new, it's as wonderful as it's ever going to be. And when God introduced Nicodemus that day to the new birth, it was perfect. Nicodemus, if you'll just believe. Now, I think that Nicodemus believed. Because I find later, When Jesus was crucified and Pontius Pilate sitting there, Nicodemus came and he begged the body. He came out of the shadows. He wanted to be identified with Christ because he believed. Now, you know what that means? If you believe, and here's the semantics to it. I think if a person really believes, they're going to get baptized. I think if a person really believes, they're going to attempt to keep the commandments. I think that if a person really believes, they're going to try to live right. It's not a matter of doing those things to get the new birth. The new birth introduces those things to us. You get in a new car. It's new. And then all of a sudden, I got in. Well, Kevin Jamiel, of course, is a car salesman, so he's always driving a new car. And I got in his car the other day, and there were things in there that were new inventions, things I'd never seen before. These cameras that do this, and these digitals that do that. All right? There's something that's tweaked in there that's something different. God doesn't need any tweaking on what he does. God's plan of salvation is perfect. The new birth is without fault. It's exactly right, and nobody's ever going to make any improvement on it. Now, the question is, and here's the key, have you and I experienced that new birth? Have you and I, by faith in Jesus Christ, come to grasp that new birth? When God makes something new, it's wonderful. When God makes something new, it's exceptional. When God makes something new, it's different than everything else. And so if you and I have experienced that new birth, there's going to be something different about us. There's going to be something new about us. There's going to be something exceptional about us if we've experienced the new birth. Because when God does something new, it's new. And you'll know it. You'll know it. You talk to people sometimes and said, have you been born again? I think so. I hope so. I want to go to heaven when I die. You know, the Bible said that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Lord was showing Nicodemus that there's a comparison between the physical birth and the spiritual birth. If you were to ask me, Pastor, have you ever been born? And I were to say to you, I hope so. I think so. I want to be. I think you'd question my sanity. Well, notice, can I say this? That's how I feel when I ask somebody, have you been born again? And they say, well, I think so. Or I hope so. Or I want to be. If God has made you new, can I tell you this? You know that you're new. Now, I know the date of my birth. I've even seen my birth certificate. It's been handed down to me. But I don't remember that day. I don't remember that experience. I don't remember how it happened. I know it was a Saturday. Because when I have to log in at the VA, I have to pick the date, the year, and it even shows me the day of that year, what day of the week that was. So I know it was a Saturday. But I don't really remember anything else about that. But not remembering it doesn't mean I'm questioning whether I was born or not. Because I know something happened that made me new. Spiritually, I know something has happened that's made me new. When God makes something new, you know it. There's the new birth. Then I'll give you what? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This goes along with what I've just said about the new birth, and if you've been made new, you know that you're new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know this is a familiar verse, but let's look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says this, If any man be in Christ, alright, that's the new birth. If any man be in Christ, before we're saved, we're in sin. When we experience a new birth, now we're in Christ. Can I tell you, that's the change that takes place? That's something new. That new birth is something new. It's something that you can't duplicate, something you can't imitate. And if any man be in Christ, all right, he's come out of sin and now he's in faith in Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, now the Bible says he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Along with the new birth comes being a new creature. I've told you this before. The day I got saved, I was 18 years old. The day I got saved, I remember walking out of that little room where that man led me to Christ. And I remember walking out that evening after the church service and looking around. And I couldn't have explained this to you, but this is exactly how I felt. As I walked out of that room, I thought the grass was greener. The sky was clearer. Everything looked better. Now what had happened? While I was in that room, God didn't come down with a paintbrush and clean up the atmosphere and everything around. But there was something different, something new when I walked out of that room that happened in a brief period of time. Something God did that was so new, the new birth made a new creature in Christ. I recall my dad telling me this. He got saved six months after I did. He was 45 years old. And as he told me on the phone about trusting Christ as Savior at the age of 45, he said, "Steve, for the first time in my life, I feel clean." Now, he wasn't talking about physically, but there was just something he'd experienced. Something new had happened in his life. Have you experienced that new birth? Do you know what it's like to be a new creature in Christ? Again, the world tweaks it. The world's trying to make improvements on it. They're trying to do a... Can I say it this way? When that baby is born, when a baby is born, someone else has to clean it up. You've never seen a baby come out of the womb and say, "Hey, what's this stuff all over me? Give me a towel, give me a rag, I want to wipe this off. Where'd this blood come from?" No, a nurse had to take that baby and wipe the blood off of it. It was covered in blood. I like this. That baby's covered in blood. And someone else, someone above it, has to clean it off. It can't clean itself off. A lot of folks think, "Well, I'll come to church and I'll call myself a Christian and I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll join some self-help club or I'll do some new improvements on my life or that, and I'll clean myself up." You can't clean yourself up. That's why the new birth is important, because it puts you under the blood, and then once you get under the blood, God begins to clean you up. Because you and I can't do it for ourselves. We're not capable of doing it. We're not able to do it. We're not even thinking about doing it. But we're a new creature in Christ. A newborn babe, the Bible calls us. A new creature in Christ. No longer physically, think of it, no longer in the womb. When the babe is in the womb, it's in darkness. It has eyes, but it sees not. He's inside that darkness for that period of time. And yet when he is born, when he comes forth from the womb, all of a sudden he goes from darkness to light. It's a new experience. And he or she usually lets you know it's a new experience by their new lung power. Something has happened. Something's transpired. They've gone from that place of darkness and now they're in the light. And now their eyes slowly begin to open. And their understanding begins to get ready. They get adjusted to the light. And though for a while they're under the nurture and the care of others, eventually they get to the point where they're able to walk on their own and become independent. All of this is a picture of the spiritual transformation that happens when we face the new life. When we come from the new birth to being a new creature in Christ and our eyes are open and we begin to spiritually develop to the place that we can walk on our own. For a while we're under tutors and governors and others that have to help us, pastors and teachers. And then we get developed in the faith and we're able to walk on our own. All of this happens because of God's plan through the new birth and a new creature in Christ. The Bible talks about it in Romans chapter 6, 4 as a new life. The Bible calls it in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, a new heart. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10. It says we are a new man. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it tells us that we have a new mind. A new life with a new heart, a new man with a new mind. Everything about us is new when we experience the new birth. So the question this morning is, have you experienced that? Do you know what it's like to have been made new? To have the new birth? to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible even tells us we have a new song. Look back, if you would, at Psalm chapter 40. This is one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 3. Let's just start in verse 1. It's too good to skip to verse 3. Psalm 40 and verse 1, the psalmist wrote this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. You understand, when David was penning these words, when the psalmist was penning these words, he was talking about a personal experience in his life, where God had delivered him from trials. I don't know if it was literally a pit and God pulled him out, but in David's life, he likened it to that, if it wasn't exactly that. But the wonderful thing about the Bible is that what David writes about his personal experience applies to all of us spiritually. And when he said, He set my feet upon a rock, he could have said anything. He set my feet on the shore. He set my feet on the cement. But he said, He set my feet upon the rock, so you and I would get the analogy. Jesus is our rock. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. It says in verse number 2, verse 3, and hath put a new song in my mouth. A new song in my mouth. You talk about experiencing something new. Something transformational. That when the new birth comes in and makes you a new creature in Christ, and the old things are passed away, and all the things become new, and He puts a new song in your mouth. What a new creature has been experienced. You know, we live in a world of old creatures, do we not? We live in a world where people are still in the womb. They're still in darkness. And they're going to act like they're in darkness. And they're going to look like they're in darkness. And they're going to behave like they're in darkness. And we ought not be surprised that the world's the way it is, because they're in darkness. But all you and I that have been brought out of darkness and into the light, what a difference there ought to be. Because something new has transpired. Something new has happened. And for a person to say, I know Christ is my Savior and I'm saved and all that, and there's no newness there. Again, I'm glad it's God that's the judge and not me. But everything I see in Scripture is that when God makes something new, brother, it's new. It's not like everything else. And when He makes something new, it doesn't look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, behave like the world, get excited about the world. God's made something new. And here's the question this morning: are we new? Have we experienced a new birth? Are we new creatures in Christ? Are we no different from the old creatures that are walking around everywhere else? When God makes something new, it's different. When God makes something new, it's special. And can I tell you this? It gets better. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're telling me there's something better than the new birth? Well, I guess I shouldn't say better. But you and I that have experienced it have had that. So, preacher, you're saying there's something better than a new life in Christ, a new creature? Well, I guess I really can't say better. How can anything be better than being that? Than living the way we used to live and now living the way we live? How could anything improve that? By the presence of God in our life. But I'm saying the best is yet to come. Let's go back where we started, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Have you experienced the new birth? Nobody else can say you have or you haven't. Only you know. Are you a new creature in Christ? Others can look at the appearance and make judgments, but you know. You know whether there was a change in there. You know there was a time that you went from the darkness to the light. You know that God's come in and made a change in your heart, in your desires, in your ambitions, in your loves. And if God has given you the new birth and you're a new creature, you've got something new awaiting you right now. Revelation 21 and verse 1 said this: And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, if the things of God don't bless you now, I wonder if you're really a new creature. If the things of God don't bless you now, I wonder if you've really experienced a new birth. Because if the things of God don't excite you, you don't want what He's got in store. If the things of this world mean more than the things of God do, it's not only that you might not have a new birth and be a new creature, but you're not going to get the new heaven. Because He's prepared that for them that love Him. Revelation 21 verse 1 said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Can I tell you this morning, everything that man touches, he corrupts. Everything that man touches deteriorates. That's just the way we are. I'm not an environmentalist by any stretch of the imagination. But is man wreaking havoc on our environment, on this world? I think we'd all have to say yes. Now, we're not going to push the panic button to the extent that some do. But yes, we've not made this world better environmentally. Everything man touches, since the time that Adam and Eve came out of the Garden of Eden, this world has gotten worse and worse and worse. I'm not a global warming fanatic. But is it possible that our temperatures and atmosphere are changing by carbon emissions? And again, I'm not jumping on this boat, but I'm saying, is it possible? Sure it is. Because man corrupts everything he touches. Man ruins everything he gets in touch with. Ever since we got booted out of the Garden of Eden for disobeying God, we have been destroying everything and anything that's good or holy. That's man's nature. And one of these days, God's going to decide, you know, that's enough. The man that I've created has corrupted himself upon all the earth. And I've been patient and I've been long-suffering. And I've overlooked a whole lot of things, but you know, it's over now. It's time to move on. And the Bible tells us that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Because we've messed up this one. You know what the Bible says? That this earth is decayed and is groaning every day and longing for the day that God is going to purge it and cleanse it, because we have destroyed the very earth that we live on. Now again, this is not an environmentalist message. It's just a spiritual message saying, realize who we are and what we do. Our atmosphere. You know, the worst thing we could do is go into space. We've done enough of corrupting the earth. Now let's go up there and do it too. And so we go everywhere we are. And everywhere we go, God says, anything that man touches, I'm going to have to destroy. He's touched the earth. I'm going to burn it up. He's touched the heavens. They're going to dissolve with a fervent heat. And I'm going to have, the only thing we have not touched is that third heaven, the dwelling place of God. I'm reminded of some folks back in Genesis 11 that thought they would get there and began to build a tower, and what God had to do to punish them for their thought. Everything that we do corrupts. Now I know this is not a Norman Vincent Peale message for you this morning, not a Joel Osteen sermon giving you a pat on the back. I'm telling you this, we are human and we fail. And if we don't have the new birth, and if we don't become new creatures in Christ, then we'll not see the new heaven and the new earth. I want you to look at one more verse and we'll close. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Well, where do we start? Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Folks, what is it that we love so much down here? One of the materialistic, sensual things that we love down here One of these days they're going to be taken away from you. And you're not going to have them anymore. But if we're laying up treasure in heaven, those things can never be taken away. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. You say, do you believe in global warming? Absolutely. But man's not going to cause it. God's going to purge the universe. In verse number 13, he says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can I say this? Without the new birth and being a new creature, you wouldn't be happy in the new heaven. Without the new birth and becoming a new creature, you wouldn't be happy in the new heaven. But if we've experienced the new birth, if we become a new creature in Christ, oh, we're still down in this sin-cursed world. We're still down in this wicked environment. But inside of us, we know the new birth and that new creature is alive. And we're looking for and longing for that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be in a perfectly righteous place for all eternity? And to be made perfectly righteous for all eternity? But the only way we get to the new heaven and new earth is to become a new creature. And the only way we become a new creature is by experiencing the new birth. See, it's got to be done God's way. Man wants to tweak it. Man wants to improve upon it. Man wants to criticize it. Man wants to be a skeptic of it. It really doesn't matter when the end comes and push comes to shove. God's way of new things is going to be the way it's going to be. God says, behold, I make all things new. The question this morning, has He made you new? God makes all things new. Has He made you new? If you're just going on from birth to death without experiencing the new birth in there, you've never been made new. Are you a new creature in Christ? Do you know? You say, I don't remember the day I was born, remember the time, but I know something happened. I know I'm new. You've got a new heaven and a new earth that's awaiting you because God says, I make all things new. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As we go into 2018, as we close out 2017, what's important?